welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today will be Emilio Danilo and Nina Bass. In this episode, we will be discussing the huge 2-0 victory for Fulham against Derby County at Craven Cottage on Saturday. Before we get going, I want to congratulate Joanna Rayworth as she became the Cottage Talk Bournemouth Match Contest winner. Martin Ward, who initially won, contacted me and told me, unfortunately, he would not be able to attend the match and wanted me to know so I could pick a new winner. Pure class from Mr. Ward, and once again, congrats to Joanna as she has been given the 2 tickets for the Bournemouth match, and I've already been told that she has them in hand. So again, Joanna, congratulations, and thank you very much to Nicola Walworth and Sarah Brooks from Fulham Football Club for allowing us to do this contest and getting the tickets to Joanna so quickly. So she's all set, and hopefully we can be doing more of these contests down the road, but it's good that we've now done 2 of them. All right, I am excited to talk about this match. Looks like one of my co-hosts is ready to come on, so I'm going to bring him on right now. Emilio, how are you doing, my friend?
Hello, Russ. Very well, thank you. I'm celebrating after a very well-deserved victory yesterday, so it's good to be on the show, and hopefully we can all enjoy some precious moments on this show rather than all the doom and gloom that we've had over the last few weeks. So, yeah, let's look forward and let's look up onwards and upwards rather than looking backwards today. So I'm determined to stay optimistic like I normally am, and, you know, today's show you're going to see a lot of positive me today.
Well, that's great because you're going to see a ton of positive me, and I got a funny feeling you'll get that from Nina as well. Again, listen, the table doesn't lie. We know where we are, but this is one show that we can actually just talk about exactly a very excellent performance by Fulham Football Club against a team that is still at top of the league, and Fulham took them down. And, you know, it really, again, I'm still thrilled. I've watched the match back, Emilio, twice. I recorded it. I watched it back. It actually was shown here, tape delay in America. And I've already watched it back a few times. My wife's making fun of me because she's like, you're going to watch it again? I said, I'm going to watch it again. And then after that, I watched the Patriots win the Super Bowl again. So my Saturday night was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. And then these moments, we should cherish these moments. But at the same time, you know, we had a number of these performances earlier in the season. It was a complete performance. But, you know, some of the other games against Charlton, first half against Nottingham Forest, you know,
yes,
the fact that we played both halves well this time around is something that we haven't seen too often this season. But, you know, we've got the squad. I've always said along, you know, we've got some individually, some good players. We've got depth in the squad and we should be performing more consistently. So the table doesn't lie. We're there for a reason. But, you know, we should be a lot higher in the league. And I'm sure everyone will agree with that. But let's look forward now. We've got 2 more months of the season. Let's try to get more victories, a bit more consistency, and we can look forward for the next 2 to 3 years. And because this was always going to be a 3-year plan. It was never going to be overnight success, which, you know, some fans expected. So this is the reality. We are where we are. We need to move forward, and hopefully yesterday was a kickstart we needed.
Absolutely. And like I mentioned on the last show, Emilio, when, you know, I looked at Derby County, because Derby County has come a far away now. They look like the best team in the league. They look like they're going to get promoted. They could win the league. Their first year after being relegated, they ended up 19th. And, you know, again, it just shows you that just because you're coming from the Premier League does not mean that you're going to have this instant success. I believe you predicted 13th and 14th. We could end up being there by the end of the year. You know, again, it's a tough transition. All these teams are tough, and anyone can beat anyone. That's what's fascinating about this league. You know, you have to be on your game each and every week or you're going to lose. That includes Derby County because they were not on their game yesterday. Fulham took advantage of it, and they got the convincing victory, and we should all be happy about that. All right, Emilio, let's get started with this. You were there. Nina should be joining us shortly, but just share with me just your overall thoughts about what you watched at Craven Cottage yesterday.
Well, you know, my prediction, I predicted that before the game, like a high-scoring draw. I felt that we could get something out of the game, and I was confident about that. The performance against Wolves, despite the fact they were suicidal defending, thought we could get out of something from this game. We've played confidently against Wolves without necessarily scoring the goals, and maybe Roddy Yeager's injury was a blessing in disguise, you know, forced Kit to make a change. And, you know, there wasn't many surprises in the lineup. Maybe I was expecting maybe more drastic changes, but he kept a fairly similar lineup per se, and maybe the expectation was that, you know, Derby were technically the better team, they should run away with this. But we came out of the blocks very much, you know, with a different determination, different body language, different focus. And the first 10 minutes was very even, in my opinion. They were technically better, but we had more movement, more one passing, doing the simple things effectively. And it was very even Stevens for that first 10 minutes. And that just we then started to sort of gradually get into the game more, take control of the game. Ruiz, I said, did the simple things effectively yesterday. McCormack looking lively. You know, we just had another couple of gears in the whole setup. The players wanted to play for each other. They obviously got their bottoms kicked in midweek, and maybe that's what they needed. But we had Woodrow stretching their defence tirelessly throughout the game. It was just a completely different team to what we've seen in the last few weeks. Take the Ipswich game a fortnight ago. We started very poorly that game. We looked resigned to defeat. And yesterday was as if it was another season. New squad, new players, and a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, this was, you know, again, it's funny because I actually watched the replay of the last match, Emilio, and Ben Weeks and I went through it. And what was frustrating about that match, not that Fulham should have gotten anything out of the match. They didn't deserve to get anything out of a 3-0 loss. There were positives to take out of this, but frustrations at the same point, because in that first half, there were opportunities for Fulham. And it was really all about the final third on our end and on their end. And that's what was frustrating about that match. So I kind of understand, you know, again, kind of ramping up to this match. You know, again, it's not that it was all horrible against Wolves. It wasn't great, but there were positives to take out of it. It's almost like they took it to the next level in this match. But I've got some good news, Emilio. It looks like Nina's on the line with us. I'm going to bring her on.
Fantastic. Okay.
Nina, how are you doing, my friend?
I am fine, Russ. I'm so sorry for the slight delay.
That's okay, Nina. I'm just glad that you could join us. I do want to mention, unfortunately, Giannis Gineas could not join us today. He was scheduled to come and join us. I got a message from him late last night that his match. He coaches a girls' team. In Canada, they're actually in a tournament in America in Cleveland, and the starting time was switched at the last minute, and it's going on right now. So unfortunately, Giannis could not join us today, but he wanted to. Trust me, he wanted to, but he just couldn't make it. Nina, I got Emilio's just opening thoughts on what happened yesterday. I want to get yours. You were there as well, so just share with everyone what you saw at Craven Cottage yesterday.
I saw the best performance of the season so far. I saw a team that played as a team that were passionate. I saw some very, very good football on display. And I saw some, even though they were playing very well as a team, I saw some individual very, very good performances as well. And in fact, I just feel... I feel so happy. I really do. I mean, it was so enjoyable, so good to watch. And it was almost like we were the team at the top and Derby were down there in 19th place. You know, it was very much like that. So I'm delighted. I really am.
Well, so am I, my friend. And I'm glad that we could do a happy show. And that's what this is going to be. You know, we could talk doom and gloom another day. You know, the time right now is not for doom and gloom. It's actually to look back at a very excellent result. And like I was saying to Emilio before you came on, it's not that I foreshadowed that this is going to happen. I didn't see it from the Wolves match, but I did see good things from the Wolves match that I took out of it, thinking, okay, if they can fix what was going wrong in the Wolves match, maybe they can have a good game plan. And really test, a team like Derby County, who's in first place. Listen, I'm just going to mention this. Emilio, you actually told me, I want to say before the match that you thought we had a chance to get a draw. I actually predicted a victory, and part of the reason why I predicted a victory was that I had known that Chris Martin was injured and wasn't supposed to play. He didn't end up playing. And I knew that Johnny Russell, both of these players really hurt Fulham in the first match, was coming back from injury, and there was a chance he might not start. He came on in the second half. So I took this, guys, as a perfect storm. You know, again, Fulham's coming off of this disappointing result where they didn't play well, but there were good things to come out of it that you could learn from. They have been shellacked twice by Derby County. Derby County's two of their best players, I think Johnny Russell's one of their best players. You know, again, one was out and one wasn't starting. I thought it was a perfect storm. If Fulham were to beat Derby County, it was going to be yesterday, and it did happen. And what's interesting, guys, before we go on any further, I just want to share this with you because when we go further in the show, I definitely want to get your rating for Kit. But I want to share what Kit had to say after the match. I found this very interesting. This is in the manager reaction, which you can read on FulhamFC.com. And listen, I've been critical of Kit. Emilio, you've been critical of Kit. I can't be critical of the way he set Fulham up for this match, and this is the reason why. And I'm going to read this. This is from the manager reaction. These are quotes from Kit Simons. It's always nice to get a win, but it's especially nice when it's against top of the table and in the manner which we got it. It's only 3 points, but it's a big 3 points because of who it's against and how we did it. I thought it was the all-around game. We were very resolute defensively. We looked strong. The work ethic was excellent defending from the front to the back. We pressed them high up the pitch, which we knew we had to do. We looked at the scouting reports, and teams that sit off Derby, by and large, get put to the sword because they got real quality throughout the side. So we knew we had to press and harry them high up the pitch. We had a game plan. We stuck to it, and it worked very well. Now, I didn't realize that this is part of the game plan, but honestly, it showed itself in the game. And I want to talk about this pressing that Fulham did. It was very noticeable, and I'm talking about all the players. I actually saw an interview that you can see on FulhamFC.com with Colly Woodrow. He talked about this that Kit's game plan was to press them from the front to the back. Everyone had to press, and that was noticeable to me. How effective do you think this style was, this game plan was in this particular match, Emilio? Because obviously it worked.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think having Woodrow up there, that gave us more options. You had somebody who had more energy, you know, throwing himself about, holding the ball up well, running down those channels, he was stretching that defence. And that also gave the opportunity for McCormack to play a lot deeper yesterday throughout the game. So rather than where you typically have a Rodriguez, who's a little bit more static, maybe not showing as much movement as Woodrow, their defence were constantly under pressure because Woodrow was literally just giving them a torrid time throughout the game. And you then saw all the skills, you know, the beautiful skill from McCormack dropping a lot deeper. Ruiz and him partnering in midfield, all doing the simple things effectively. We were keeping the ball a lot more effectively yesterday. We weren't trying to do anything fancy, just doing the simple things well.
Right.
Passing the ball to feet, keep possession, stay determined, play. You know, we really had the confidence to keep passing the ball back and playing it out of defence and carrying it forward. So there was a togetherness, like Nina was saying earlier, throughout the game. And I just felt that we were looking more forwards rather than backwards throughout the game. And I just felt there was a bit more balance in the play. And Woodrow had a lot to answer for that because he did give those defenders a torrid time throughout and made them work hard, chased everything, you know, more so than the static Rodriguez of late. And that, again, like I said, gave McCormack that freedom to drop a little bit deep and try to be a little bit more creative and trying to make things happen in that area, knowing that Woodrow was there causing their defence problems. So all around, great, great team performance. Parker had another spring in his step, so the rest of midweek certainly did him the power of good. We had a leader on the pitch again. That made that was another massive plus. And I think it was in the Ipswich game I commented on the fact that there wasn't any leadership on the pitch. We saw that yesterday. And what do you see? We saw a team performance. So I agree with those comments. And again, it didn't give the Derby players much of time and space to do those runs. Yes, they were technically very good passing the ball to feet, but there were some at times they were going sideways and not really and getting blocked at every opportune moment. So our defenders need to be given a lot of credit for keeping a clean sheet and giving very little away throughout. So good tactics, you know, deserves a pat on the back after the recent disappointments. And, you know, let's, like I said at the beginning of the show, let's take this forward for the next game against Watford, which I think is probably of the three games coming up, including yesterday's. I always forecasted a Watford away game was going to be the toughest, A, because we were away, and B, Watford are showing a lot more consistency and scoring goals for fun at the moment.
No, this is true. And again, we'll be talking. I'll be doing a show tomorrow. We're definitely going to be previewing Watford, and they are they're a tough team to play, like you said, especially on the road. And let's not forget the way they played Fulham at Craven Cottage. That was actually really a poor performance by Fulham, but you have to give a good amount of credit to Watford. They are a dangerous team, and I look forward to talking about that tomorrow. But, Nina, I just want to go to you and just, you know, watching the match, did you feel that Fulham just had that extra energy, you know, all over the pitch? We're talking about the players not giving Derby County really any room to move. You know, again, they were on top of them from the beginning of the match, I want to say, to the very end. And we can include players, you know, Emil was already talking about Scott Parker. I could throw in Ross McCormack. I thought played very well. Colley Woodrow, obviously. Like Emilio said, I'm going to throw out a name, a very controversial name that I thought had an excellent match, and yes, was doing a job defensively, and that was Brian Ruiz. Did you notice how much Brian Ruiz was playing defensively, Nina?
Yes, I did. Brian Ruiz had a spring in his step. I've never seen him run so much. As you know, I am a fan of Brian. But I'm even more of a fan after yesterday. He had energy, he had creativity, which he always has, and his experience really, really just spoke volumes yesterday. And I think that just as an overall comment, the experience of Parker, Ruiz, and McCormack really, yep, really shone through, and it worked extremely well with the energy of some of the younger players. And I just think that gelling of that kind of experience and passion and sheer kind of dogged determination really, really worked well. I mean, I really like when I went onto the Match Centre on the Fulham app and I saw the formation and I saw the players. I said to my daughter Francesca, we could win this. We could actually win this match today. Just because I just thought, just looking at it, that the structure and bless him, Roddy Ego. I mean, I love Roddy Hugo, but as Amelia pointed out, you know, he's been quite static of late. And I just thought that this, with Woodrow there, then this is going to be a lot more flowing. Brian Ruiz is in the place that I think he serves best. I was optimistic when I saw that formation, and I'm pleased to say that my optimism was right. So yeah, so that would be my kind of overall comment.
No, listen, and you bring up an excellent point. You know, we're talking about some of the matches, you know, going back from going through a really tough stretch, and what was interesting about this match, and you nailed it 100% there, Nina, when you talked about the experienced players stepping up and being able to assist the younger players, you know, leading by example. That's what you saw in this match. That's what we need. You know, if they were going to bring in a couple of players, say, for an emergency loan, I would want experienced players to show the younger players exactly how it's done. And I think that's what you saw in this match. You saw Scott Parker, Ross McCormack, and yes, I will say Brian Ruiz, showing basically how it should be done and leading by example. They were all committed. Those three players were extremely committed, and you could see it spread throughout the entire 11 players. And that, to me, that's what was so impressive about this victory. It wasn't one man. We will get to full man of the match, and it's interesting, some of the comments on it. You know, listen, Scott Parker could deserve it. You know, again, there are other names as well. But what's interesting about it is looking back at it and thinking, what have Fulham missed? And I would say getting the combination right of the experienced players and the young players playing together as a unit. We finally saw it in this match. And that to me is one of the reasons why they won. Again, that they just played together and they're all committed together. Like you said, I've never seen Brian Ruiz run as much as he ran in this match. And that's not a criticism of the way he plays. I'm just saying, for some reason, he was doing more than I normally see him do, and that's a good thing. You know, again, I'm talking about the defensive responsibilities. He was on top of his man the entire match, which, again, I'm not used to seeing from him because he usually just really takes care of his offensive responsibilities. Well, he was fully into this match, and that, to me, was very important, and I think a part of why we went along, especially with Scott Parker's performance.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's move on. You already mentioned you were happy, Nina, with the starting 11. So I will now go to Amelia. What were your thoughts when you saw the starting 11?
Yeah, positive. I think obviously Kidd had no choice but to do something about the Hugo situation. But I'm adamant that had he been fit, he would have been dropped yesterday. I think I'm more than certain about that. So I was keen to see a change. Right, people know I'm not Hugo's biggest fan, but we'll always give him credit where it's due. And I always, you know, applauded him when he went through that good, you know, good spell either side of Christmas and November, December time. So, you know, I'm a fair and honest man here. I'm always unbiased. But yeah, I was glad to see a change up front. So for this was enforced. Potentially expecting a change in defence. Potentially if Kit wanted to take some ruthless action off the back of the Wolves defeat, maybe I was expecting probably a central defensive change, maybe Byrne coming in, you know, maybe just surprising everyone. But in the end, I'll commend Kit for not changing the defence, and then we're getting a deserved clean sheet. So wasn't expecting any change in midfield. So, yeah, potentially a central defensive change I may have expected. Maybe Bodrov being dropped, because I know that, you know, his form has dipped in recent weeks, but he's obviously answered his critics yesterday with a goal and a great performance. So, yeah. So Kit will get, you know, will get significant credit for that. But yeah, I think the lineup is pretty fair, and, you know, I think what was expected, to be honest. We've got options there. Matt Smith is also coming back from Bristol, so I know he's being recalled now, or has been recalled. So that gives us another option. So hopefully now we can start, you know, going back to the way we were before Christmas and scoring more regularly. We've got more attacking options.
You know, very good point that you brought up Matt Smith, Emilio, because I believe Kit also mentioned that at the very end of the match. I'm sorry, in his manager reaction, he does mention the fact that that Matt Smith is coming back. So that tells me the fact that he even mentioned Matt Smith that he's going to be part of his plans, at least in the meantime. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see him very soon. It could be as early as against Watford. And you know, again, I say bring him in, but you know, play him with. Let's see what he can do, but very good, you know, very good points by you. When I looked at the starting 11, you know, again, I thought it looked solid. Did it look like it was going to be a diamond? Of course, it looked like it was going to be a diamond. We were going to play a diamond again, and but you know what? It worked. It worked. You know, for whatever reason, like I said, they had a certain game plan throughout the match, and they saw it through, and it worked, and. And that's the bottom line. If it works, you know, we're going to praise the manager, praise the players, and it certainly worked in this match. All right, guys, let's go through the key moments. And let's start at the very beginning because, again, Fulham came out fairly strong, I'd like to say. You know, I wouldn't say fairly strong. I think it was actually, if I'm remembering correctly, it was probably a little cagey from both sides at the beginning of the match. But there was an opportunity. We'll start early on, Emilio. I'll go to you. It was in the 16th minute. There was some good possession by Fulham, which led to a header by Ryan Tunnicliffe. And, you know, unfortunately, this went, I believe, over the net. What were your thoughts on this first legitimate opportunity by Fulham? Did you feel that this was a precursor of things to come with this decent spell of possession?
Yeah, nothing. Just to track back the first quarter of an hour of the game. So like you said, it was very cagey first 10 minutes. Both teams playing some decent football. You know, it was you know, good one touch, good movement. Bent had a sort of early sniff of a chance in the first 10 minutes, I recall. So that could have gone, you know, maybe a Darren Bent from 3 or 4 years ago may have scored from that position. So that was just a gentle reminder that, you know, just be aware and stay tight defensively. Tunnicliffe then picked up a needless yellow card after 10 minutes, and I actually thought that could be a turning point to the game because it meant for the rest of the game he had to sort of avoid, you know, getting into tackles. He stepped away from his mark on a number of occasions, not wanting to foul. So he was on tenterhooks right from literally after just 10 minutes. So with concern around there, I saw a slightly different Turner clip yesterday. I saw a more offensive side of him yesterday. Still think there's a lot of weaknesses in his game, but give him credit where it's due. He did push forward quite a few times yesterday. It was a shot off target in the first half, and like you said, from the header there. So if he's got the confidence and we've got the movement in the middle of the park, and it goes back to the Brian Ruiz, doing the simple things very effectively, keeping possession, McCormack trying to be creative. You know, again, you've got LBC on one side. Again, we just had a lot more options yesterday, and we saw a Tynecliffe coming forward a lot more than we've seen. And probably this is the most I've seen him play offensively since he's returned back from Blackburn. So, and that's encouraging.
Listen, it's funny. You and I have talked about Tynecliffe. I'm not speaking crazy when I'm saying you have your thoughts on him. But in this match, you know, I think you mentioned me off air. The second half, you thought he was better, but he was more offensive in this match, Emilio. Mm. So that's actually a good sign, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll probably only be a matter of time if he continues to play offensively and more positively and takes away maybe those niggly little tackles and the needless yellow cards. He's had quite a few needless yellow cards, and he'll become a more complete player. But, you know, a long way to go there on that front. But, yeah, it was encouraging to see him push forward quite a few times yesterday.
I agree with you. And, Nina, I'm going to go to you because I want to talk about this second opportunity by Ryan Tynecliffe. And what's interesting about this, you know, watching it back and seeing the replay, he needs to get this on target, and hopefully in time he will. But Ross McCormack set him up beautifully in the 24th minute. This is a perfect opportunity to score for Ryan Tynecliffe. Talk about this, and did you think he was going to score at this point?
Well, yes, I did. because he was gifted that pass by McCormack. You know, he was in a good position, and it was a real, real pity that it went wide. I mean, I was amazed it did. I thought it was a little bit of a sitter and a real gift from his teammate. And just picking up, I mean, I think that Tynecliffe is very, I was very pleased to see that he was playing in a more offensive way. But I think he's obviously rather rough around the edges. I think he's is sort of maybe lack of confidence. Maybe it was picking up the yellow card early on. I just think that kind of shone through quite a bit yesterday. And I just feel at this level, when you're gifted a ball like that and an opportunity like that, I think you really do need to take that opportunity. And it's twice that he unfortunately missed. It wasn't just the once, it was twice in fairly quick succession. So I feel that was a real shame, and obviously something that he needs to work on. And usually, to be honest, it's what, you know, other Fulham players have been doing all through the season. But I just feel sort of like, you know, twice in a short space of time was a real shame, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, again, this second opportunity that we're talking about, this was legitimate. This was he was set up beautifully. This was a real goal opportunity here, and unfortunately, he didn't even hit the net. That, you know, again, hopefully he'll learn from this, and then next time around, he'll at least get it on target. But this was a really excellent opportunity set up by Ross McCormack. You know, again, I think both of these situations were precursors to what was about to happen. And Emilio, I'm going to go back to you because in the 31st minute, Fulham did have some really decent possession there. I believe they had a corner and then had some play from that. And that actually led to a shot from Brian Ruiz, which is blocked. But the fact that he got the shot off led the ball to go to Nikolai Bodarov, and he poked this ball into the back of the net. This is actually a very skillful shot that I didn't see coming. From Bodarov, did you see this goal coming?
Absolutely not. It's just the look on his face. It's like, I've just scored a goal. What have I done? You know, it's a complete shock. You could just see his view. Have I scored? Have I genuinely scored? I have. And then everyone's looking at him. It's just amazing. Just to recap that, to actually see it live there and actually see the replay and the motions behind it. If you actually look at every slow-mo, you'll actually see every moment of joy in his face. That's a different body language to what we saw 2 or 3 weeks ago against Ipswich, where heads were down, everyone was felt despondent. We didn't even look like we could ever score a goal, and everyone wasn't playing for each other. It was yesterday. It was just the joy, the genuine glee on people's faces, and there was a togetherness even with the celebrations of the goal. It meant so much to the team, and we didn't see that in recent weeks. Until yesterday, we did. So there's certainly a vote of encouragement from the board, the management, kick up the backsides. You've seen a different Fulham team. Ultimately, the same players, but turning up on a different day with more belief. And, you know, and the thing as well, the fact that Brian Ruiz took the shot early on, that's another factor we haven't covered off at the moment. In the first half an hour, we were determined to keep getting shots in. Even if they kept getting blocked, we were trying to shoot on target. And LBC had a shot on the right which got blocked before he got injured. These are all individual moments which we haven't been seeing when the chips have been down and there's lack of confidence. Let's shoot on goal. Who knows what could happen? Yes, we get a deflection. It falls nicely to Bodrovan. He skillfully poked it past the keeper. But had we not shot or looking for the extra pass or trying to do the spectacular, we may not have got that lucky deflection and, you know, we scored from it. So it's, again, let's shoot when we've got the chance. Even if we've got a half chance, you never know where that ball's going to go.
Absolutely, Emilio. And listen, Ben and I talked about that on the last show. Just start shooting, you know, because strange things happen when you shoot, and you might get lucky every once in a while. And listen, we can call this a lucky opportunity that it got right to Bodrov, and he took advantage of it. But you only get these opportunities when you shoot. You know, you got to shoot it, whether it's blocked and it deflects over to him. Fine, you know, I don't care how they got the goal. It's the fact that they got the goal and he took advantage of the opportunity. That, to me, is a good sign. And like you said, his mannerism after scoring the goal of surprise but also of happiness. And, again, you were singling him out from a couple of weeks ago against Ipswich. You know, Ben mentioned against Wolves that his head dropped there too. So it's good to see how much it meant to him, not just to score but to get one for the club and the club to be unified in that, I think was very important. It showed unification, like you said. The way they celebrated showed that they were all in. And there's no question they were all together in this match. And that goal kind of signified it very early on. And, Nina, that's going to lead me to go to you, and we're going to go right to the second goal. And this came off of a wonderful counterattack by Fulham, started by Scott Parker. He took the ball away from Will Hughes, and he just ran up the pitch with the ball and got it to Ross McCormack, who set up a beautiful pass, chip, whatever you want to call it, to Colley Woodrow, and he headed it right in. Talk about the goal and your feelings after that went in the back of the net.
Well, it was Parker at his best, defying his 34 years, which is actually not old anyway, but in football terms, I guess it is. Suddenly, there he was, literally hoofing it down the centre of the pitch. I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, the energy of the man, you know, he just looked so sprightly. And then, yes, of course, it was reliably picked up by McCormack, who actually could have taken that opportunity to try and score himself because he was at a very good angle. And, in fact, that was what I was expecting to happen. I thought he'd have a go. But he didn't. And he rather unselfishly obviously singled out Woodrow, passed it to Woodrow, who headed it in. And I just want to say that's testament to the calibre and the quality of Ross McCormack, the way he's not a glory seeker. He doesn't just go for it himself, like you see time and time again across the football leagues. People, especially in the Premier League, actually, people go for the glory, taking it on themselves. He doesn't do that. He is a game maker. He sets things up. And I just think that is to be applauded. And I think that he is gold in the team. And he was a shine star yesterday. So I just want to applaud him 100% for that move alone. And, of course, it was a good header by Woodrow. You know, if Roddy Ager had been in the same position, maybe he would have scored because it really, again, it was very much gifted to that player. But I was just delighted by that team play. I really was.
It was such a positive move, like you said, team-wide, that is something that you can build on. The way that they worked together, I'm glad that you singled out McCormack because he wasn't singling himself out. Nina, what I mean is he wasn't going for glory. He was going to get outperform the goal, and the best position to do that was to set up his teammate. And that and that just shows that, you know, again, Ross McCormack came to Fulham with a reputation of a goal scorer, but I had seen all the assists, all the numbers, and that just shows the type of player he is. He's more than just a goal scorer. I want him to score more goals, don't get me wrong. Setting up his teammates is just as important, and because it gets everyone involved. That's exactly what he did. And Fulham are better for it, that, believe it or not, that Woodrow scored. You know, again, a goal counts the same, but the fact that it was that was a team goal. That was not an individual goal. That was a team goal. Started off by Scott Parker getting the ball to Ross McCormack and then setting up his teammate. That showed the team playing together, and that, to me, is very impressive and a good thing to build on moving forward. All right, guys, before we go to the second half, what I thought I would do is I'm going to read you guys the halftime stats. We'll do the full-time stats when we go to Stat Attack, but I want to give you the halftime stats and see what you get out of it. All right, Fulham actually had less of the possession. They had 47% to 53%. Total shots, Fulham had 12. Derby County had 5. Shots on target, Fulham had 3. Derby County had none. Corners, Fulham had 4. Derby County had 2. Fulham only had 8 crosses. Derby County had 17. Tackles, this is interesting. Fulham had 14. Derby had 8. Passing accuracy, Fulham were a little bit less at 72% to Derby being at 80%. Fouls, Fulham were at 5, and Derby County were at 3. All right, Emilio. What do you get out of those halftime stats? Does that tell you a little bit about how the match went in the first half?
Absolutely. Again, it's the offensive nature of our play throughout the game. So from the defence right through to the front, you know, it's I think the possession, when we actually look at the possession, I'm not surprised we had a slightly inferior possession rate, because ultimately in our first 10, 15 minutes, when it was slightly even Stevens, Ince had a lot of possession down on the right hand side and sort of trying to trouble Stafford-Leaders, who defended very well. Let's be honest, I think that's one of the positives from yesterday's performance. He was
absolutely
determined. Ince didn't get much out of him. I was concerned there was a lot of play down the right hand side, and there was going to be
you are 100% right, Emilio. I'm sorry to jump in. I'm glad that you singled out Stafford-Leaders and Ince, because that was a battle that they kept on talking about during the match, and how well Stafford-Leaders was keeping him quiet.
Absolutely, and Stafford-Leaders gave the ball away cheaply a few times when having the ball and carrying it forward, but defensively he didn't give it any sniff of a chance. So that's a positive. The corner ratio for the corners again, there was a couple of deflections from shots on, you know, towards goal. So again, if you don't shoot, you're not going to know what the end result is going to be, whether you might get a lucky deflection, you could get a corner, you may actually get a goal. Tackles, more determination there. We've almost got double the amount of tackles as they had, so that shows to me the commitment and the focus of the team that, you know, at all costs, we need to go out there and win this game. So, good positive stats there, and it doesn't. I think that reflects the balance of play, in my opinion. The 2-0 scoreline was well-deserved. They had 0 shots on target, and we made the most of our determination and sort of the positive approach to the game.
Absolutely. You know, again, it's funny because sometimes stats don't tell you the entire story. I think this stat line from halftime really shows you a great deal of why Fulham were up 2-0. Nina, to you, what do you get out of the stats? Do you get out of the stats something similar to Amelia, or is there something else that stands out to you?
Well, very much going along the lines of what Emilio said, but also the fact that Derby County had a real off day. To have 0 shots on target at all in the first half, the team that is top of the championship and looking for automatic promotion, I find absolutely staggering. I really do. So I think it does, you know, it does show that they really did have a bad day at the office. But it maybe it's, you know, testament also to Fulham's renewed defence, and I think that the stats do very much tell the story of what we saw.
Yeah, I totally think that they do, and that's why, you know, before we go to the second half, I just wanted to stop and talk about the stats, and then we could talk about after we go through all the other key moments, we could talk about the full-time stats. But the halftime stats, I think, really tell you the story of that first half and how dominant Fulham were. You know, again, it's not all about the possession. Like you were saying, Emilio, yes, they had slightly better possession, but it's what you do with that possession. And again, part of this was, you know, the announcers kept talking about that Fulham were playing, and I want to ask you about this. Do you think Fulham were playing like they were the away side?
No, not at all. We want to get the Craven Cottage back to the fortress it used to be a few seasons back in the Premier League, and there have been instances in home games this season where we have been dominant. We've been lucky on a few games as well, but I think there was some self-belief there, and I've always said, you know, on paper, we've got individual players with experience who should be performing week in, week out. We've got young players coming through the ranks who've been very successful in the under-17s, 18s, 19s, etc. So we should be doing better than we are, and it's no surprise that we have got a great victory against a Derby team. Let's be honest, this Derby team has been playing together for 3 or 4 years consistently, the majority of that team. So they've got experience
right.
at this level, and you mentioned the fact that when they got relegated, they finished 19th in that first season. But they've gradually pushed on, developed the team, got more experience, more of the togetherness again. And we should be getting there in the next couple of seasons. If we're all that more patient in the long-term view of the club, we can become a more attack-minded team, a lot more promise. We can be more successful, and we can get potentially promoted with a younger age of squad rather than what we had in the Premiership over the last few seasons. So, no, I think we were the home team yesterday, and that was very clear. We weren't trying to play them on the break. It was all around possession yesterday. I didn't think we were trying to do anything too fancy, too flattering. Let's just do the basics well, and that's all about football. It's about playing football, playing the ball to feet, passing the ball. That's the successful nature of any team. And if you can score goals from that and be creative, great. But if you can't do the basics well, then you've got a problem. And that's what we haven't been doing of late this year. So I think we didn't play like the away team. I think we were a comfortable home team performance yesterday, and the best team won. And Derby struggled to play against us. We didn't give them the chance.
Right. And what's funny about this, and I agree with you. I didn't agree with the assessment when they were talking about this. You know, like, oh, Fulham seemed like the team that's on the road, you know, they're trying to beat them on the counter. But yes, Fulham were dangerous on the counter. There's no question about that. But this was, you know, again, this is a dominant performance, offensively, defensively, all the way around. This was a team performance. This was a home performance. This wasn't an away performance. So I didn't agree with that commentary. But, again, this is what I was hearing during the match. I understand where they were going because they were talking about how dangerous Fulham were on the counter. And this is true. But they were much more than just beating them on the counterattack, and I think that got lost a little bit because of how Derby County played. Fulham forced Derby County to play the way they wanted them to play. They totally stifled them. And what's funny about it, Emilio, I listened to an interview with Steve McLaren after the match, and I believe that there's a quote of him saying, and this is a similar one that Kidd actually said after the Wolves match, He's like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but basically said they could have played, you know, like an extra match, and they still wouldn't have scored, basically, because it was one of those days where they just were not going to score. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it was really a discussion about how Derby County could not penetrate Fulham and how Fulham did against them. You know, they were not going to score a goal against Fulham yesterday. It just wasn't in the cards. And that I believe has more to do with Fulham than it does with Derby County. They might have been off, but I think more credit has to be given to Fulham. All right. Let's move on to the second half. And Ian, I'm going to go right back to you because again we're going to talk about Scar Parker again, because in the 66th minute, Parker actually sets up Ross McCormack, but again he went on this great run in the box. And the ball went right by the keeper, but unfortunately, I believe it was Craig Forsyth blocked Ross McCormack from scoring the goal. But talk about this again. This is Scott Parker at his best during this game.
Yeah, just before I do that, I'm picking up from your Steve McLaren quote. Steve McLaren also said at the end of the match, that Fulham team yesterday looked like a team that could have beaten any club comfortably in the Championship, and that's what he said. So I wrote that down because it just really kind of pleased me, and I thought it was a rather generous quote. So I just wanted to air it.
That's great. And listen, in defeat, I have to say this. You know, I've heard managers, you know, in defeat, blame everything. In defeat, Steve McLaren was very gracious.
Yeah.
And I have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, again, you know, going back to the Parker chance, again, such energy. You know, the fact that he managed to squeeze that cross through to Ross McCormack. And unfortunately, you know, it was no fault of anyone else's. It was blocked. But that could have been another opportunity. And actually, from where I was standing, I thought it was another opportunity. But it was just a moment of good defensive work from Derby, and it was blocked. But yeah, another glimmer of brilliance from Scott Parker.
Yeah, he was. I'm telling you, he was fantastic in this match. It's funny because I messaged Emilio at halftime because going into halftime, Scott Parker was struggling. And I thought he might be taken off at halftime. And I said to you, Emilio, I said, if Parker comes off, he should bring on Hoogland. Well, he comes off later in the match and he brings on Hoogland.
Exactly.
So you know, again, you said you thought the same exact thing. And it's just funny. It was Hoogland, and we'll talk about him later on when he came. It was good to see Tim Hoogland back with the squad.
It was very good to see Tim Hoogland.
I know. For you, I know you like Tim Hoogland. So, all right, Emilio, over to you. Now this is interesting. Again, you know, this wasn't like a tremendous opportunity, but it's the timing of it. The 71st minute, Marcus Bettinelli made a save off of a free kick and a shot by Jeff Hendrick, which was a header. The reason why I'm bringing this up, this was in the 71st minute. This was really the first good opportunity Derby County had the entire match.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Bettinelli had a very quiet game. And, you know, sometimes in those games when you're not necessarily called upon to do much, sometimes it's easy to lose concentration, you lose focus, you lose that sort of movement. You know, sometimes goalkeepers like to keep themselves a little bit busy. He had a lot of you know, options to kick the ball away, but he was very composed, very calm, and you know, he dealt with that very professionally and very comfortably, in my opinion. Again, there was a few instances in the second half as we were tiring. We were conceding some dangerous free kicks, which, you know, if they had scored with 20 minutes to go, then who knows? It could have been a repeat of the Cup game back in October when we were 2-0 up and lost that game. So, you know, some of those fouls were unnecessary, but we were tiring, and that's why I was starting to feel nervous that, you know, Derby seemed to be getting the upper hand at around three quarters of the way through the game. But you know, we held on strongly. We defended well. The keeper did what he needed to do. And the reality of the fact is that, you know, did they deserve to even score a goal? Probably not. They didn't really carve out any key up moments or glaring misses. It was just a solid defensive and offensive display from our team, and you know, this clean sheet was well deserved.
Absolutely. Listen, there was actually an opportunity, Emilio. It's funny you're talking about opportunities that they had in the 74th minute. Ince, you know, Thomas Ince had a shot that was deflected off of Bodaroff, but it goes over the net, and that was really the best opportunity they had the entire match, because that was actually off of a deflection, but that didn't go anywhere. And, Nina, I'm going to go back to you because, again, Fulham, you know, it's funny. I've said this to a few people. Fulham won this match 2-0. There were actually opportunities for Fulham to win this match 3 or possibly 4-0. And here's one of them. Ross McCormack had a great opportunity to score. He was one-on-one with the goalkeeper, Lee Grant. But Grant made a good save. Did you think Ross had a good opportunity to score here? This is in the 78th minute.
Yeah. He had a very good opportunity to score. You know, and I'm kind of just very disappointed he didn't, actually. You're absolutely right. It was a one-on-one with the goalkeeper. I mean, they were sort of practically looking into the whites of each other's eyes, you know. But, you know, again, I can't criticise McCormack because he hoofed the ball down the field, and he had that kind of energy to get there. And unfortunately, a slight hesitancy, and the shot was saved. But I thought that I honestly did think it was the third goal.
Okay. Very good, very good. You know, again, I was, you know, listen, I want to see him score. I predict, Nina, if you listen to the preview shows, every match I predict Ross McCormack is going to score. And I thought he was going to score here, but unfortunately he did not. Okay, and to finish off us talking about the key moments, I want to talk to you, Emilio, about Moussa Dembele. Now, Moussa Dembele hasn't been involved lately. He actually had two very good opportunities. One shot off the post, and then he had another opportunity later on in stoppage time. Talk about this. Was this encouraging to you to see Moussa Dembele come on for the final minutes of this match and almost scored?
Absolutely. You know that I'm a big fan of his. He's only 19, for goodness sake, and I see him being a prolific goal scorer in the coming season. Now, this guy is only going to get better. I'd like to see him play more often. I'd like, you know, maybe there might be stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about, maybe with attitude potentially, but I'd like to see him on the bench more often. I'd like to see him, really harrying defenders and really stretching them with his strength, his, you know, ruggedness. And it's unfortunate he didn't score. You know, I thought he was going to score that third goal. He did, you know, ever so well to keep the ball, force his way past. I think he had two defenders around him at the time, and it's unfortunate that it did hit the post, but on another day that would have gone in the back of the net. But their defense was tiring, so maybe he had the energy in the tank there to in his favor. But that's encouraging. This guy is going to score goals, and we need to keep him for the long term. He's a player we have to retain. He's got goals in him. He's a poacher. He's got strength. If he's got the right attitude, and we've got a manager who can mentor him and develop him, then he's only going to get better. So I'm a big fan of his. We need to keep him.
I totally agree with you, and one of the reasons why I wanted to end this part of the show talking about it is because I think that he could be pivotal years to come, and he's getting closer and closer to breaking through, and you could see it, and to hit the post was unfortunate, but you know what? Eventually those goals are going to go in. You know, that hitting the post is next going to go in the back of the net. So again, going back to, please just shoot the ball. You know, just shoot.
Exactly.
Because good things can happen the more you shoot. That's the way I look at it.
I've seen him often playing for under 21, you know, the under 18s in the last couple of seasons, because obviously they're only playing around the corner from where I live. You know, there's always good signs there. I've always been impressed with him over the last few seasons. So let's develop him, and you know, he's going to be our future. You know, this guy can
score
goals. We need a 20-25 goal a man striker. Is it Ross McCormack? Is it someone like a Dembele? I'm not too sure, but between them, as long as we've got one player who can score 25 goals a season and we've got another assisting comfortably, then you know we will be up the top half of that table next year, if not better. So good signs to come. We just need to just balance the rest of the team.
I agree. You know, and again, that's what's interesting about this match, because it's really, you know, what we're going through is it's the match within the match. They win 2-0, but there are all these other things we can take out of it. That's why I want to break it all down and talk about, you know, again, Nina brought up the fact that it was about the experienced players playing with the younger players playing together as a team. We're also talking about Moussa Dembele, you know, at the very end, you know, a player of the future. Because let's be honest here, we're not talking about Fulham this season, you know, going back to the Premier League. That's not going to happen. We're talking about the big picture, and the big picture could be bright as we go, you know, as we go further into this season and into next season. You know, we want to be building something, and this could be, again, these are baby steps, but this is a very good baby step. We'll just leave it at that. All right, guys, let's go to full time stats. Nina, I'll start with you. These are the full time stats from the match. Fulham had 44% of the possession to 56% for Derby County. Total shots, Fulham had 18, Derby County had 14. That actually surprised me. I didn't think they had that many shots. Shots on target, they only had two, Fulham had five. Shooting accuracy, Fulham were at 28%, they were at 14%. Passing accuracy, this is interesting, Fulham were at 69%. Derby County were at 77%. Fouls, Fulham were at 13, Derby County had 10. Corners, Fulham had 6, Derby County had 5. Crosses, this is where they had the advantage here. Derby County had 33, Fulham had 15. Crossing accuracy, this is interesting. I like this stat. Darby County's crossing was only at 18%. Fulmer were actually higher at 27%. And this is an interesting stat, and this does tell you something. This is something that I got out of the full-time stats. Shots blocked. This is a very interesting stat. Fulham had 7 shots blocked. Darby County had 6. So, again, that's something to think about when you think about this match. And, Nina, just overall, what do you get out of the stats?
I think, you know, fair assessment of the match. I'm a little bit surprised on the overall possession statistics. I guess that's kind of maybe stems more from the first half than the second half, because Derby had a very poor last third. So, you know, obviously that's the average of the whole match. But I would have thought it was a bit closer than that. But anyway, but apart from that, you know, sounds pretty much spot on from what I saw.
Okay, very good. Back over to you, Emilio.
The fact that we had those five shots on target compared to 2, I think that obviously over double the ratio though. So that to me tells me we deserve to win. You know, whether it was a 2-goal margin or not is another matter, but we deserve to win the game based on the shots on target. Corners, it's not often that we got a higher corner count in any game, let alone against a top team in the division. So that's an encouraging stat there as well. And a lot of that stemming from the fact that we were shooting on target more often. We were trying to make things happen, or just hoping as well. And if we continue to do that going forward, then we will get more reward. We will get more corners. We will get more deflections. The keeper may have to make more saves. We don't test keepers enough week in, week out. And that's the key thing, because we don't shoot. So encouraging there, to be honest. You know, the passing accuracy, you know, Derby 77%, that's quite low from their perspective, but credit must be given to our team that we weren't given them the opportunity to pass to feet. If they had a Brian Ruiz who was doing the simple things effectively, maybe they might have had a higher accuracy rate there. But on the whole, I think those stats is a neutral. If you'd look at those, you'd probably say that that Fulham deserved to win that game based on those stats.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, listen, Fulham deserved to win this match, but you're talking about passing, and one play, you know, actually really, you know, again, this isn't a passing play, but it really just showed to me what the match was all about. It was Scott Parker possessing, you know, basically, I don't want to say pushing away Will Hughes, but basically getting the ball away from Will Hughes, you know, muscling his way away from Will Hughes and basically taking the ball up the pitch, and we score a goal. That showed determination and that Fulham wanted it more than Derby County. And it started with Scott Parker.
I was actually commenting to Joe during the game that we were after Will Hughes a couple of seasons ago, I recall.
We were.
There was this young lad. And we were saying, should we have gone for him? But based on yesterday's performance, he had energy. He was, you know, he was trying to make things happen. But would I potentially spend all those millions of pounds that we would, you know, targeting to spend when we're in the Premiership for Will Hughes? Again, he's stuck with a Championship team. He's hoping to get promoted with them. Question is whether he's got the capability to step it up in this Premiership. Will be interesting if they do get promoted. But again, we had just an interesting discussion yesterday about Will Hughes. Should we have bid for him a couple of seasons ago? And has he pushed on as much as we expect him to? Maybe not.
You know, I still think he's a promising player, Emilio. But you know, he's not the finished article yet. And he might get there. You know, like you said, Derby County is probably going to go up to the Premier League. Then that'll be the test for him to up his game. But, you know, and I thought some of his passing was very good. But I just found it interesting that he was dispossessed, the ball taken away from him, and muscled away from a player that's 34 years old, much older, much wiser, and maybe someday that will be him. You know, that could be him in, say, I don't know, 10 years' time. You know, he'll be Scott Parker. But right now, Scott Parker can still beat Will Hughes. And that's what I found interesting about it. Will Hughes is going – I still think he's going to be a very good player. But he's just – you know, he's not the finished article. He's still a young player, you know, similar to some players that we have. He's probably further along in his progression, but he's not all the way there yet. And, you know, and that's a very interesting discussion you and Joe must have had, because we were after him. Again, speculation was we were after him. So, all right, guys, let's move on. Let's rate the players. Let's get into it. We only have about a half hour left of the show, so we might have to go a little quick. And, yes, I will be reading the ratings from one David Hulley. He sent it to me. He wants me to read his ratings. So I will read them after you guys do your ratings. I will give you guys the floor, and then I will read David's ratings. So let's start with Marcus Bettinelli. Nina, I'll start with you. Ladies first.
Okay, I gave him a 8 out of 10 because the little activity that went his way, he did very well. I mean, he saved 2 shots on target. So I think 8 out of 10 is fairly fair for Bettinelli. Oh,
okay, fair enough. Emilio?
Yeah, I've given him 7.5 on the basis that did nothing wrong. There was a nervous moment in the second half when the ball deflected and was looping over him. He was then tracking back towards the goal line, thinking, oh, please don't slip it, don't fall over and do another piece of defending. So he did that very well, comfortable. So that was that nervous moment. But other than that, did nothing wrong, was good with his kicking, his passing was good, it wasn't as harried as normal. So, yes, 7.5 for me. I think that reflects what he needed to do. Had he had more saves to make and made them more and saved them, I would have given a higher rate. But based on what he had to do, he did the basics well. So yeah, 7.5 is well deserved.
Listen, I hear you on that, and it's funny because Lee Grant almost gifted Fulham a goal on his own. So again, you know, I don't know if you remember that during the match, but Lee Grant almost had a major mistake, but it didn't end up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to David. Let's see what David Hulley had to say because he wanted to chime in here. He gave Bettinelli a 6.5. Didn't have much to do, but he was up to the task when required. Okay. All right, Emilio, back to you. Let's do the fullbacks. Let's do Ashley Richards. It's funny because everyone calls Ashley Richards Ashley Williams. It's actually Ashley Jazz Richards. I don't know why people think that it's Williams, but it's actually Ashley Richards. Let's talk about him, and I'm curious about your rating for Kostas Stafoulidis as well.
Oh, okay, and so I gave Richards a 7. You know, not again unspectacular. Didn't do nothing of note on a negative perspective. I think maybe he was trying to push up from his fullback position, trying to support the midfield when we were trying to counter attack. And there'll be a couple instances when it would have been nice maybe for the midfielder to have passed to him so he could actually, you know, distribute the ball into the penalty area. But, you know, he was outshone by the other 3 defenders. So it's not because he had a bad game. It just most of the attacking play from Derby was more on the Stafoulidis side of the pitch and down the middle for Hutchinson and Bodrov. So I'm giving him a 7 because it wasn't unspectacular, but I don't recall any negative things that he did throughout the game. So, yeah, and he held the defence fairly well. So 7 for me. Stafoulidis, I'm going to give him an 8.5 on the basis that, you know, in that first quarter of an hour, I was nervous because he was giving the ball away very cheaply, but he gave in absolutely nothing. He was tackling well, you know, timing his tackles to perfection. He had another spring in his step, and you felt
he did
the passion there in his body language. There's a different Stafoulidis there. You know, I hope this is not a one-off. He can continue to develop and mature, and, you know, there's still something inside me saying, is he the right? Do we want to sign him strategically? Still undecided there, but based on yesterday's performance, you know, solid, you know, at times spectacular, and he kept things very, very tight. So 8.5 for me.
Okay, very good. Nina, how about you?
I'll give Richards a 7 as well. I think that he didn't figure that much. I mean, he was obviously solid at the back there, as they all were yesterday. So to be honest with you, I didn't really notice him that much, but maybe that's a good thing with a defender. And Stafoulidis, I give an 8, for very much the same reasons that Emilio's just given. You know, he seemed refreshed, invigorated. It's the best I've seen him play, actually. And you're right, you know, a lot of the play was down his side. And I think he played very well yesterday.
Okay, very good. All right. David gives, let's see, let's start with Ashley Richards. He gives him 6.5, solid without being spectacular. he says about Costas Stavridis. He gives him a 7, kept Ince quiet, and was better going forward. Okay, so that's from David. All right, Nina, back to you. Let's talk about the center backs. Let's talk about Sean Hutchinson and Nikolai Bodaroff.
Yeah, well, Hutchinson, I'm going to give a 7 as well. You know, pretty much along the same lines as Richards. Very solid in the back there. Didn't do anything particularly notable. Didn't make any glaring mistakes. So 7. And Bodaroff, I'm going to give an 8. He would have probably got a 7 as well, but he scored a goal, so he gets an 8 for that.
Okay.
And again, you know, as we were saying earlier, great to see him more offensive and pushing forward, and hopefully this will do something to his confidence and really boost him. So I'll give him a morale-boosting 8.
I like that. Very good. Okay, over to you, Amelia.
So I'm being overly generous with the defenders today because it's a clean sheet. This was Derby's first in 17 games that they failed to score. So they've scored in their previous 16, 17 games. That says something about, you know, how we managed to sniff them out and not giving them any easy chances to score. So Hutchinson, I'm giving him an 8 because, you know, he was a rock in the defence. He was winning all those balls in the air. He had that physical presence about him. You know, Darren Bent got absolutely nothing from him. It just felt that he was commanding in that central defence. There were times he gave the ball away cheaply when we were hoofing a ball out under pressure. But when you're sort of struggling at the bottom, you'll do anything just to clear the ball away from the defence, and you just want to get the ball safe. You don't want to take any risks. And yesterday, Hutchinson, you know, was very strong. And you know, I think giving him an 8, I like the look of him. He had a bad game in midweek, but generally he's been pretty steady in recent weeks. And I think there's another young defender who can grow and develop as well. And he's got that physical presence that a centre defender needs, and hopefully have that aerial threat from set pieces. So giving him an 8. I'm giving Bodaroff an 8.75 on the basis of 8 for the goal. He got his body in the way throughout. He was on the floor. Hutchinson was winning the balls in the air. Bodaroff was keeping it tight on the ground. Scored a very good goal. We kept a clean sheet. Didn't concede many nasty fouls. So, you know, those three defenders, you know, Stavridis, Bodaroff, and Hutchinson, 8. You know, I'll give him 8.5, 8.75, and Richards only gave him a 7 on the basis that he wasn't like needed. Said not particularly noticeable, although he did an effective job as well. So the defense needed to be given credit. It's not often we keep a clean sheet, and I think we need to, you know, sing from the rooftop. We've kept a clean sheet against technically the best team in the division.
Absolutely. That's huge. Okay, over to David. David gives Sean Hutchinson 6.5. Solid, bar one bad mistake, which Bodaroff mopped up on. Bodaroff, he gives 8. Superb in defense, covered when Hutchinson made a mistake, and great goal. So that's what David does there for Sean Hutchinson and Nikolai Bodaroff. Okay, guys, let's now move on to Scott Parker and LVC, and Emilio, I'll go right back to you. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's do Scott Parker and Ryan Tunnicliffe together.
Okay, so let me do Tunnicliffe first.
Okay.
I gave him a 6.5, and that's not. There's not an 8 is number. And before people criticise, it's not because I don't necessarily not his biggest fan. He considered a stupid foul after 10 minutes, and defensively he was ineffective. You know, okay. Thereafter, he was unable to go into challenges. He was pulling, had to withdraw himself on many occasions in that second half, not in the event he was maybe make a foul and get a yellow card and get sent off. So defensively, he could have been more effective had he not picked up that early yellow card. But on the flip side, as I mentioned earlier, offensively, a lot more positive. You know, maybe unlucky maybe not to have had a goal. He was slightly off balance when he shot off target, but notwithstanding that, you know, there's some encouragement there. If he can continue to be more offensive, maybe we'll get a younger version of Steve Sidwell who can come forward and score goals as well. But I'm giving him a 6.5 on the basis that the yellow card and the ineffectiveness from a defensive perspective. Parker, I'm giving him, 9.5. I think there's what more is there to say? You know, he led by example yesterday, captain's performance. We had the leader back on the pitch. We've not had Scott Parker leading on the pitch for quite some time, and he had just another dimension about him yesterday, and the fact that, like you said, he can dispossess Will Hughes and, you know, and outpace him and create an opportunity which led to a goal. That's a testament to the type of player that he is. So great game. You know, the fact that he shrugged off the injury, maybe he was playing through the injury pain as well in that second half, don't you? Let's not forget that. So, he, you know, for the sake of the team, he carried on playing through that pain barrier, and, you know, he needs to be commended for that. And all around, great display. You know, there have been times when he's played even better than that, but when we needed him to deliver, he was there, and that's a positive influence he gave to the rest of the team. So I'm giving him a man of the match, 9.5.
Okay, great. And I just have to say this, Emilio. When you said a young Steve Sidwell, I think David Hulley probably fell off of his chair, so thank you for saying that.
That's why I mentioned as well, because I've never thought before an earthquake hit the area yet.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. And talk about David. David actually gives, let's start with Ryan Tunnicliffe. He gave him a 7. Not so great first half and totally unnecessary booking, similar to what you said, Emilio, but had a storming second half. Okay. Scott Parker, he gives 9.5. Man of the match, led by example, put his body on the line and inspired the whole team. Okay. So that's that on Scott Parker. That is David's man of the match. All right, let's move on. And let's, you know, again, we're going to rate LVC. You know, LVC only played a half. So you know what I'm going to do, Nina? I'm going to give you LVC, Sean Kavanaugh, because Sean Kavanaugh played the second half. I'm going to give you LVC, Sean Kavanaugh, and Brian Ruiz. So rate all three of them because, again, Sean Kavanaugh played a good second half. So, you know, played a full second half. So rate all three of them. Nina, you with me? Did I lose Nina?
Sorry, Ross, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Now I can hear you. Oh, okay, she dropped off the line. Emilio, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here, yes.
Okay, she was having technical difficulties, so she just dropped off the line. She'll dial back in. So I gave you LVC. You know, again, I thought we might as well rate Sean Kavanaugh at this point because he played half of the match, a little bit more than half the match. And then also Brian Ruiz. So give me ratings for all three of them.
So LVC, he had that shot on target first half, which got blocked. Disappointed to see him carrying, you know, coming off with an injury. I suspect we won't see him for a little while. I hope the injury is not too significant. But again, where is the LBC from before Christmas in December? He's not the same player. You know, again,
yeah,
there could be various reasons for that. It could be still trying to get his full fitness, maybe still carrying maybe a partial injury, which may have resulted in being, you know, being taken off yesterday. There might be other factors behind the scenes. Maybe he's unhappy at the club. I'm just trying to speculate it, but I haven't seen the LBC of like the one we saw 2 or 3 months ago when everyone was raving about him. So let's just hope he gets back pretty soon, back to him again. If we want to push on the last 2 or 3 months of the season, get as many points as possible, we need a determined LBC with goals, assists, running box to box. That's the type of player that we need. And, you know, at the moment we haven't seen that. It's only 6 for me from there.
Okay.
Sean Kavanaugh, again, I'm giving him a 6. Again, he did the odd things here and there, but nothing spectacular. There was nothing of note from what I could see. I'm glad to see him back. It gives more options on the pitch. It gives a bit of width. He could play in field or in defence as a fullback. So, again, another young chap, has promise, has pace. You know, physically looked a little bit fitter yesterday and looked bigger as well. Maybe he's added on a little bit of weight, which is good. So it makes him a lot more stronger and fit as an individual rounded player. So encouraged to see him back, but nothing of note yesterday. It's only a 6. Brian Ruiz, I'm giving an 8.75. I've said on several occasions yesterday, today, that he did the basics well. He was defending. He wasn't trying to do the spectacle. He was trying to keep possession. And the fact that we had good possession rate, I'd like to see Brian Ruiz's passing accuracy yesterday. I'm sure it's fairly high. Last 10, 15 minutes, I agree with David. He did tail off, making a few mistakes. But the fact that he played the whole game, you don't often see that with Brian Ruiz. For the benefit of the team. You know, great performance, you know, and it was nice to see that air of you know, there's a genuine approach to his game yesterday. You didn't see the negativity that when he scored against Reading, you felt, well, I'm not going to be here next week, therefore I'm not bothered. But he was bothered yesterday. He wanted to play. He wanted to fight for the cause. And he wants to keep, whatever people think, Brian Ruiz wants Fulham in this championship and does not want to see them relegated. And he will do his utmost to make sure that they will do it, that his skills and his presence on the pitch will be key to Fulham staying in this division. So great to see him play well, but I'll give him an 8.75.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Let's see what ratings David gave. David gave LVC a 6, satisfactory until he got injured. Okay, he gave, Sean Kavanaugh 7, neat and tidy and linked well with Stafelidis and others, always used the ball well. Ruiz, he gave a 7. Defensively, his best performance for Fulham. Hassled really well, good close control and short passing, but gave ball away, dangerous situations, dispossessed on 4 occasions, and no killer passes. Okay, so David gives him a 7, and David, if you're listening, I completely, utterly disagree with your rating on this. I am going to call you out on this. You just don't like Brian Ruiz. I agree with Emilio. I would actually give him a 9. And I don't usually give ratings. I disagree with you. The guy was engaged. He might have made some mistakes, but he was fully committed to Fulham in this match. I give him a 9. I just disagree with you on this player. And, you know, again, in this match. I understand where you're going on it. I disagree with you. All right. All right. Hopefully Nina will be joining us soon. Emilio, she was having, obviously, technical difficulties. So let's move on. Let's go up front. Let's talk about Ross McCormack and Colly Woodrow.
So Ross McCormack, on the balance of play, and this is around his quality of skills, the assist, but also the fact second half, I thought he was a little bit lazy second half, a little bit too casual. I'm giving him an 8.5 overall, which is still a generous rating. His skills were great. Too often he was moaning about decisions not going his way, whereas I just want him to get on with the game and to stay focused. Stop complaining to the referee that you haven't got a foul for someone genuinely winning the ball. He should have scored to make it 3-0 when he had the one-on-one with the keeper. I was disappointed maybe he didn't take that chance. And I also felt maybe he was a little bit too slow to take that on board. I think I tweeted at the time. I don't often tweet during the game, but I noticed that maybe he was trying to keep something in reserve in the hope that Derby were going to push out from defence, just trying to get an extra goal. We can catch these guys on the break and on the counter-attack. So I felt he was trying to keep himself, his energy levels down, don't push himself when he didn't need to. But it was a little bit too complacent second half for me. He could have done more. He had a lot more space that he didn't exploit, a little bit too casual. But when he's on the ball, he's sublime. And that's the beauty of this guy. And, you know, it was lovely to see. But also with Woodrow being more movement than Hugo Rodriguez, Ross McCormack was defending a lot more yesterday. He was there, let's be honest. At times I saw him in our own penalty area defending and trying to fight for the cause. And he was also playing a lot deeper and linking well with Brian Ruiz. So you've got two individual players, both with different characteristics. But because Woodrow was playing an effective game and stretching the defence, Ross McCormack had the luxury of being able to drop a lot deeper to be more creative, because you had more of the Woodrow energy. And that's why McCormack in recent games is probably playing more at top. And maybe, like you said, maybe hasn't scored the goals he would like. But it was nice to see a lot more movement yesterday, and there was encouragement there. So if Woodrow scored the goal, and hopefully he'll keep his place in the team going forward.
Okay.
And Woodrow, I gave him a 9 on the basis that he stretched the defence throughout, scored a good goal, and, you know, he fought the whole stuff of the 80 minutes or so on the pitch. You know, great, and hopefully now he'll get an extended run in the team. And at times, Woodrow maybe hasn't taken his opportunity as much as he has done in the past, but let's see what he does this time around. He's got a game against Watford on Tuesday night to get ready for, and hopefully he can stretch that defence just as well as he did against Derby yesterday.
Okay, not a problem. Good stuff there, Mel. And I just got a message from Nina. She's having connectivity issues, so hopefully she'll get back on. And Nina, if you're listening, just do what you can. And if you can't get back on, no worries. You know, Emilio and I are still here. We're going through this, and I got David's ratings as well. And let's see. David on McCormack, given 7.5, caused a lot of problems with dribbling and passes and assists for Woodrow. Should have scored, probably. I do agree with David there. And Colly Woodrow, 8. Excellent in holding the ball up and running at players. Offered much more than Hugo of late and took his goal well. Okay. All right, Emilio, let's move on. We've talked a little bit about Dembele. I don't think we have enough time, really. You know, he had enough time to really rate him. But overall, it sounded like to me when we talked about before, you did like his performance. So let's just focus on Hoogland. Hoogland played only played for, you know, for, again, when did Tim Hoogland come on? He came on for in the 79th minute, so he didn't play that long. But what do you make of his return? Was there just not enough time to really even get anything out of that match for him?
Not really. I think it was. I'm glad that we resisted using him until till the 79th, 80th minute. I was a little bit nervous if he had to come on second half. Was yesterday's game against Derby the right game for him to come and play, replace Captain Scott Parker? So, it's good to see him back. It gives more options to the team. I'm always a big buyer of competition for places. So if we can get all our players fit and all raring to go, then it gives the manager a dilemma. And that's what he's paid to do, is to not necessarily go with a steady team, but if you've got various options, let's see what Kit can do when he's got, most of his players fit and available. Has he got the capability to change things around, change formation, make key substitutes, etc.? So I think there wasn't much time to evaluate whether he had any positive influence on the game. But I think the key thing is he's back from injury, and it gives Kit a nice dilemma going forward.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking about, Hoogland. It's like what's interesting about him, again, he's a different player. I was a huge fan of Chris Baird. And Chris Baird could play several positions. I actually miss Chris Baird. And, Tim Hoogland, can play different positions. I like the flexibility that he offers. And like you said, if he needs him to play for Parker in a match or two, I think you can get away with it. If you want him to play right back, I think he can do that as well. So I like his versatility. And I think he's a quality player as well. So I'm just glad he's back. So I understand why what you had to say about him. All right, Emilio, let's move on. I think for some reason I think maybe the speaker's a little bit too close because you're coming in a little fuzzy right now.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. I just thought I'd mention that. Make sure we have a little better of a connection here, because I'm just getting a little feedback, Emilio. That's all.
Okay. Apologies.
Not a problem. Okay. Let's now go to the full man of the match. Before we rate Kit, let's go to the full man of the match. Who's your full man of the match?
Scott Parker. I would say comfortably, but there was a few players that were in the running. Defensively, when you keep a clean sheet against the best team in the division, the defenders, you'd expect to get some recognition and credit for that, which we've given. Ruiz, was more inspiring yesterday. Yes, he didn't maybe create goals directly per se, but he did a lot of the other things very effectively, and that shouldn't go unnoticed. Ross McCormack, being a player he is, always looking to make something happen. Woodruff, again, a lot of good performance, but I think the man of the match is Scott Parker, and well-deserved.
You know what? I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to say Scott Parker as well. David agrees, so the three of us agree there that the man of the match is Scott Parker. I'm going to read some comments from the Fulham supporters on the College Talk Facebook page. Michael Connor said Parker. Emmy Nikoloff said Botteroff. Interesting. John Mason said hard call. Parker played possibly his best game of the season after being well below par for the last few games. Ruiz showed just what a good player he can be. Ross was back and his most effective. Plus, the defense looked more solid for many of a game. With the whole team playing brilliant, it's a bit much picking on one player, but if I had to do it, it would be Scott Parker. So he goes with Scott Parker. Tom and Araman says Parker. Lars Anders says Parker, Ruiz, McCormack. So basically going for a tie there. Ellen Hammersley says Scott Parker. Simon Rugg, Parker. Roger Lewis, Parker. Okay, so let me just see. Let's see what else we get. So obviously we have a lot of Scott Parkers. On the Twitter page for College Talk, Frankie said Scott Parker and Nikolai Botteroff. Let's see what else we've got. Let's see. By the River, which is Ben Weeks, he gave it to Scott Parker. David Ockerman said Colley Woodrow's goal. Robert Finch said Parker, the obvious man of the match. It was excellent, but Ruiz deserves an honorable mention. Plenty of tackling as well as creativity. Are you listening to that, David Holly? I'm just going to say that. Okay. Let's see. Let's go back and rate Kit. So, Emilio, rate the manager for me.
Well, so I'm going to treat this in separate phases. So if put the score line to one side for a moment, he put out pretty much the same lineup as he did against Wolves in previous games. So maybe fans would have liked initially may not have been 100% pleased with the selection of his squad and may have wanted to see some change in defence. But on the basis that he didn't change the defence, and he could have easily have made that change, and the fact that we kept a clean sheet, he deserves a lot of credit for that, for sticking to his guns. Kicking him up the backside was apparent. There seemed to be more of a sort yourselves out, guys, as a team. We've got to pull ourselves away from the bottom six of the division. We need to start picking up some points. And we know as a team we're capable of doing that. We've played well in parts during the season. Our goals have dried up. But overall, Kit deserves credit for maybe sticking to his guns for not changing it defensively, playing more offensively. I think he would have played Woodrow instead of Rodriguez had Hugo been fit. So overall, you know, he did what he needed to do. He had to make an enforced change for LBCs, but you know, we can't really rate him for the substitutions because one of them was enforced. So overall, I'm giving him an 8. You know, the scoreline reflected maybe the kick up the backside the players got, the fact that they played as a unit in the team, and in fact, maybe behind the scenes, he motivated them and inspired them to come out and beat a very good Derby team. So let's give him an 8 for that.
I'm going to second that. I'm going to give him an 8 as well, just because, again, it was a similar lineup, Emilio, but you know, again, going back to the game plan worked. You know, the team fulfilled the game plan that Kit had for this match. It worked. You know, and that's the bottom line. And did he have to make some changes, you know, force changes like you mentioned? Yes, because of injuries. But, it all worked. So I'm going to give him an A for having belief in his team, sticking with his team, and the game plan worked. So I'm going to go with an 8. Let's see what David had to say. Somehow got the result despite stubbornly sticking to a failing system. Post-match comments were worrying, so not able to work out what rating to give him. And David mentioned to me some comments, some post-match comments. I actually watched the league show, believe it or not. I did watch that. And I can't remember exactly what he said. Maybe he used the word unlucky. But the only thing I'm going to say about those comments, David, is I disagree with you on those comments because, again, he's trying to put on a positive front to his team that the results don't show the performance. You know, again, you didn't watch the Wolves match. I watched the Wolves match, and you know what? There were things to like out of that Wolves match. I think that's where he was going on that. So again, I disagree with you on the comments. I don't think they're as troubling as you do. But, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. And I want to thank you, David, for sending your ratings here. You know, I appreciate your feedback, and you're an integral part of the show. So, but you know, we can, as you would say, we're all friends here. We can agree to disagree, and I disagree with you here. All right, Emilio, believe it or not, we only have about a minute and a half left, so unfortunately we're not going to have time to rate Derby or to rate the ref. But listen, thank you so much for doing the show with me. And unfortunately, Nina wasn't able to join us again. I want to thank Nina very much for coming on today. And she wanted me to say, so sorry. Please say my man of the match was Scott Parker. And I gave Ruiz and Ross 9 out of 10. So we're going to end the show with Nina getting the last word. But again, Emilio, great show. Thank you so much for doing this with me, my friend. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I hope you did.
No, likewise. It was good. It was nice to have we could talk about the positives for a change. And again, maybe some of the ratings, maybe a little bit more generous than they needed to be. But let's not forget, for where we were, to beat Derby 2-0, keep a clean sheet, you know, what more do we want? Let's take this positive performance forward and let's all be a lot more upbeat. So that's hence my positivity on today's show.
Well, that's good. Well, listen, thank you very much, Emilio. And again, one last thank you to David Holly for sending his ratings. Very good ratings, David. I appreciate you doing that. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow night. Okay, let's wrap up the show. For Emilio Danella and Nina Bass, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, Emilio.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks.
Out of the Beatlemania.